Now, we really do want to make you very welcome this evening. This, as you will probably know, was the first of two special weeks of arranged meetings. And just to introduce myself to those that are not used to seeing me around these parts, I'm the one that comes from Ireland, so you'll bear that in mind. You'll give a very large allowance because the Irish have a bit of a reputation. So I'll try to speak in a way that is understandable. I'm sharing the meetings with Brother Len Walker, much closer to you, much more civilized. He's from Australia. So we will be here, both of us, each night for the course of these arranged meetings. On Sundays, this time you know it's at 5 o'clock. And then from Monday through Friday of this week and of next week at 7 p.m. Now, the meetings will be just for 1 hour, and we will not be detaining you beyond that, and we would really encourage you to come back again. It's great to see you tonight, but as you see, there are plenty more seats, so if we could just keep everyone who has come tonight and then keep adding to that people who come on the other nights, we maybe fill all the seats. And, you know, there is a message worth hearing. So we would encourage you to come back, and we'd love to see you. Feel free during the meetings to talk with us. If there's anything that we say that doesn't make sense to you, or if you've got that burning question you've always wanted to ask somebody about the Bible, do feel free at the end of the meeting to ask us about that, because that's why we're here. And we know that people from time to time have misunderstandings about the Bible, about God, about the ways of salvation, about the future. And that's why we're here. We're here so that you would hopefully leave without that misunderstanding or without that difficulty in your mind. So tonight I'm going to take a reading from the Bible, and the verse I'm going to read is also above my head. So, for those that want to follow in the Bible, we're going to be reading in John chapter 3, and the verse is verse number 16. But it is also up here above me, and you can follow it as I read it to you. Every night, we will be reading from the Bible. This is our message. We have no authority but this. And as we seek to proclaim the message of the gospel, we're seeking to proclaim the word of God. If I say anything that is my opinion, merely my opinion, that is something that you can forget about. But what we have come together to do is to listen to what God has said and to understand what his message is to us. So that's why we read from the Bible. And then what we seek to do is seek to tell forth that message and its meaning for ourselves. So this is the verse that we find. These are the words that are recorded in the Bible in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, when we come to think about the communication of messages to people, very often we want to think about the tone of that message. Those that are involved in advertising, they want to get the image right. They want to get the tone right. Certain words you don't want to use. You don't want people to think negative thoughts if you're wanting to offer something that's positive. You don't want to cause people misunderstanding. You don't want to point to a competitor if you're selling your product. And so there are different rules that people will think about when they're wanting to communicate a message. Then, of course, there is the problem of what people are expecting. Some people, when they hear what a politician has to say, they will immediately shut the message off because that's not your favorite party. And they do not normally represent your views. So as soon as you hear them speak, you shut your ears and say, I don't care what they say. They are not my favorite politician. Let's choose an example far from these shores. Let's think about North America and the United States. And as soon as the current president begins to speak, so many people shut their ears and say, I'm not listening. It doesn't matter what he says. He could say the sky is blue today. I'm not listening. He could say the grass is green. I'm not listening. Now, when we come to the Bible, there are so many people like that. It doesn't matter what they say when they read the Bible. I'm not listening. I don't think that God is worth listening to. I have my own ideas about God. I have my own preconceptions. I'm not for listening. And anyway, this business of the Bible is all about a God who really wants to send me down to hell, and I'm not interested in that kind of a God. And I don't want to hear that kind of a message. So many people, they tune out from the gospel because they're expecting to hear a certain tone, a certain negativity. Now, we are going to discover this evening that there is something we need to know that is deeply negative, that is deeply troubling. But I want us to appreciate that the message of the gospel is overwhelmingly positive. It is a message of love, and that is what we find our verse is speaking to us of. It is telling us about a God who loves us, and one who has moved heaven to earth that we might be taken from earth to heaven. It is a short message that I've read. We're living in the age of messaging and how it has changed. It used to be people wrote long letters. I remember, I'm not giving away my age when I tell you this, but when I was courting the girl who is now my wife, she was in Belfast and I was living where I was brought up. And 5 days seemed very long to be apart. So I wrote her letters and she wrote me back. You say, you're ancient. Yes, I'm a little bit ancient. I was living in the days before electronic media. And I remember waiting for those letters, and my wife was a much better writer than I was. And there was the main bit of the letter, and then the other side of the letter, and then sometimes there were bits squashed up the side and round the edges because there was a bit more she wanted to say. And these were long messages to me. But nowadays we don't do things like that. We just quickly put something with our thumbs onto a screen and send it. Short message services. Most of us are unaware of an individual by the name of Friedhelm Hildebrand. But he has shaped our modern world. He was a researcher who began to look at the messages people would send and the methods that they used to send them. And he came to this conclusion in his research that all you needed was about 160 characters. To send a meaningful message. This was back in the days when people wrote postcards. Again, we're really getting back to ancient technology. People bought a postcard, they put a stamp on it and an address and flipped it over, and there was a place for you to write your message. And going through so many that he got together, he discovered that you could put all those messages together in simply 160 characters. Along came this new innovation, a cell phone. And now you had the ability to tap little characters into a screen. What was the limit? 160 characters. It came from that researcher. Now we've moved on from that. We've got our smartphones, and there's no limit, really, in a sense, as to how much you can send. You can just keep on typing until your thumbs are tired and send it, and there's not that limit of 160 characters, but you will know that there is still a limit on Twitter. And the limit on Twitter is 140 characters. You say, well, where did the 20 characters come from? Did they get lost? No. There's 20 characters for the at whoever. So the aforementioned President of the United States has at POTUS, P-O-T-U-S. And that allows for 20 characters for an address, so that those 140 characters are sent to an address somewhere in the world. Now, the reason I bring this up is simple. We think that's clever. We can quickly send off a little message, we can spread it throughout the world, and we think we've really made an advance. Well, I want you to know that God has been in the business of text messaging for centuries. And very often when we come to preach the gospel, we come to these text messages that God has sent to the world. A short, condensed message that contains all that we need to know to get right with God. The words that I have read from John chapter 3:16, I'll not ask you to count the number of letters and spaces, but take it from me, I've done it. You can send it within the space of 160 characters. That text behind me will fit on a standard SMS message. Imagine the way to heaven, all in a short text. Something that's memorable, something that's powerful. Indeed, it became very powerful to my grandfather. My grandfather lived in County Donegal, the most northerly county in Ireland. Beautiful, barren county. No work there. He was brought up in a system of religion that taught him that he needed to go to church to be right with God. He needed to say his prayers to be right with God. He needed to try to live a good life to be right with God. This was the way that he was brought up. He moved from County Donegal to the seaside town of Bangor back in Ireland to get work. And as he cycled back and forward to the place of his employment, he passed a farm. The farm's still there today. The barn is still there. I know the people who own it. I meet them every year, and we remember the story together. On the side of that barn, in bold white letters against a black background, are these words: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And my grandfather, as he cycled day by day past that, it began to absorb into his mind that this verse does not talk about church. It does not talk about prayers. It does not talk about what we do. It is all about what God has done for us. And the way of salvation is in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was saved. His life was radically changed. So much so that my grandfather, in 1946, he left Ireland and went to Central Africa as a missionary. And he was there until in 1971, he was killed in a road accident. I had the privilege some years ago of visiting his grave in Zambia. And to think of a life that was lived to take the message of the gospel to whosoever. For here is a message that stretches across the whole world. So this verse has had a very powerful effect upon the history of my family and how it showed my grandfather the true way of salvation, and I trust it will do the same for you. So let us think of the love of our God. For God so loved the world. The first thing I want to say to you about this verse is that this verse tells us about the scope of God's love. I mean, how many does God love? Has God got a few favorites? A few individuals that he treats different to others? No. The Bible is very clear that with God there is no respect of persons. It doesn't matter what background, it doesn't matter how rich or poor, it doesn't matter anything about the things that we use to divide up people, whether it's ethnic background, whether it is to do with whether we count people to be good people or not. No, the Bible tells us that the love of God is equally towards all, for God so loved the world. What an amazing truth this is. That I can say to you as I come to this part of the world that God loves you. Every single person in this building, God loves you. Perhaps you would push back against that if we were chatting and say to me, but you know, I deserve to be loved. I'm a good person. If you really knew me, you would love me too. And sometimes we get that idea. We get the idea that God looks down upon humanity and he sees people the way that we see little kittens. Aren't they so adorable? Aren't they so lovable? But no, that's not the case. The Bible tells us that the world that God loves is a world of sinners, without exception. There is nothing lovable about us. The way that we would look upon a little puppy, a little seal, a little cute, fluffy chicken, or whatever. These things, they draw out a certain sense of a feeling of warmth within us. Is that how God loves us? Because he looks upon us and sees that we're cute, or we're cuddly, or whatever. We're good people. No, the Bible says there is no difference. All of us have sinned. And we continually fall short of God's glory. So the world of people that God loves is a world full of people that constantly break his rules, disobey his commandments, knowingly go against what God demands of us. And yet he still loves us. Can I say to you, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, God still loves you. It doesn't matter how deeply you may have gone in your sin and how rebelliously you may have shaken your fist against heaven, God still wants to bring you to himself. He wants to meet your every need. He wants to be the answer to the need, the aching void within your life and in your heart. Because if he is our creator, only the creator can fill the heart that he has created. So many people, they seek for meaning in life. They want meaning in pleasure. They try so many different kinds of pleasure and find there is still an aching void. For pleasure cannot fill the need of our hearts. Then they look for relationships. And they discover that whatever relationship they may get, it will always fall short. There is no relationship that can replace the relationship that we can have with God. Maybe I could get things. I mean, if I could get all the toys, if I could have Ferraris, if I could have fancy palaces, if I could travel first class across the world, if I had money that I couldn't count, maybe that would give me pleasure. Maybe that would satisfy. No, it doesn't really matter how much we have. We see some of the most dysfunctional lives are the lives of those who have the most. We just come right back to it, that the basic need for meaning in life can only be met by God. And no matter how many times we turn away from him and say to him, in effect, I don't believe you that you can answer my need. I will try elsewhere. Well, it doesn't change the fact that God still loves you. God still wants to embrace you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you what alone can satisfy you forever. And that is himself. The message of the Bible is of a self-giving God who seeks to give himself to his creatures so that his creatures will find in him eternal meaning and eternal satisfaction. Please don't get the wrong idea of heaven. Sometimes from Christians, I will grant you, you might get the wrong impression of what Christianity is. Now that's our fault, and we're sorry for it. But listen, life only gets meaning when we get to know the Creator. And life only gets true pleasure when we come to know God. And the Bible says in heaven is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Heaven is not a place of drudgery and of sadness and of people that are stiff. No, heaven is a place where people are at last eternally alive. God loves the world. You say, what kind of people? I mean, are there limits to the love of God? Well, let's think of a few people that God has loved. Let's think about a man, and he hated the name of Jesus. He so hated the name of Jesus that anyone who loved the name of Jesus, he went into their home, he broke it up, and he took them in chains, threw them into prison, and sometimes he had his hands red with their blood. He killed the Christians. He hated the name of Jesus. He caused them to blaspheme the name of Jesus. And you would say, can God love him? Yes, God loved him. Listen to his own words. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. The scope of God's love. He loves the world. And it doesn't matter what we've done. He loves us still. Well, I want to say something not only about the scope of God's love, but the sacrifice of God's love. Sometimes we just say that we love someone. But when we truly love someone, we are prepared to do whatever is needed for their benefit. I mean, if someone truly loves, they're prepared to sacrifice. I remember my own dad, he had to travel a lot further. And he was prepared to cycle 80 miles to visit my mother. He couldn't afford any other way. You say, that's a long way, 80 miles, up and down hills and mountains. But it was nothing to him because he loved her. He was prepared to come home wet to the skin with his legs aching. It didn't matter. He loved her. He was prepared to put up with that. And that's just a small example. What has God done to show that he loves us? Is it just mere words? No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If God had given gold for us, it would have been really meaningless because gold doesn't cost God anything. There is only one way that God could do something that would really cost him. He could give his own Son. That's what he did. And to save us from our sin, to bring us to himself, God gave his own eternal Son. But he didn't just simply send him to come into our world. This verse tells us that God gave him. But two verses before that, we come to discover what it means for God to give him. He would be lifted up upon a cross. God gave his Son to die upon a cross in agony. Why? Well, the Bible explains that he was wounded for our transgressions, that God laid on his own Son our iniquities. He paid the price for our sins and our rebellion so that we could be brought back to God. He paid down the debt that we owed. That's how much God loves you. You may say, I can't understand why this has happened. That has happened in my life or in the lives of others. Listen, we cannot challenge the fact that God loves us. Because sin, no matter how much it has cost other people, sin has cost God more than anyone can ever imagine. And sin has caused God to suffer more than we could ever tell. More than anyone has ever suffered, God has suffered because of sin. When the Son of God took our sin and paid its price so that we could go free. See, God cannot push our sin under the carpet and say, let's pretend it didn't happen. No. Justice cannot do that. Can you imagine if someone was found guilty in Dunedin of carrying out a murder and the judge says, yes, it's fine. We know that he's guilty and it's proven, but look, I know him. He was a good boy when he grew up, and let's just pretend it never happened. And you would cry, injustice! You can't love the other person who was murdered. If you're prepared just to brush this under the carpet, God can't do that. He cannot just ignore our sin. But he did something far greater than that. He put our sin upon his Son, and the Lord Jesus paid the price so that we could be free. What a sacrifice. The scope of his love, it's the world that he loves. The sacrifice of God's love, it's his Son that he gave. We cannot, as we look to the cross, question the love of God to us. The Lord Jesus died for you, that you might be saved. The simplicity of God's love. There's no small print with the gospel. It's all there. That's all there is. Sometimes we get these agreements and they're small print. And it looks as if it's a brilliant offer. But then you've got to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. And it's not just so good. I love to preach the simplicity of God's love. Whoever believes has. It's not working. It's not trying. It's not coming to church. It's not saying some kind of a prayer. It's simply understanding that I am a sinner before God. And only God can fill the aching void within my heart and life. Only God can give me meaning. And he is drawing close to me in love. He gave his Son to die for me. And the moment I receive Christ, I receive salvation. Just by simply believing on him, I receive the forgiveness of my sins. I was saved as a little boy. The moment I trusted the Lord Jesus, I got more than I could ever imagine. The simplicity of it. God has no hidden agenda. He wants to do you good forever if you would trust him. And the safety of it. I love this. You see, when I was a little boy, I was a little imp. And I often disobeyed. I wear a scar on my face that I got as a little 3-year-old boy. My mom told me not to go a certain way, but I went that way. She was going on the proper way, and I was going the back way. And as I came round the corner, my cheek was torn open by barbed wire. Very fortunate I didn't put my eye out. And as I came round the corner, having disobeyed my mum, blood flowing down my cheek, there she saw me. And I ran crying to her. What did she do? I told you so. Draw herself up, push me away. No, she could have done that. But what she did rather was this. She got down, and she embraced me. And that's what God wants to do to you. He will come down to your level and he will embrace you. And he will say to you, if you trust in me, you will never face the consequence of your sin. You will never live an empty life. You will never continually search for what you will never find. You will find everything in me. If you simply receive my Son. Oh, the security of it. To be safe forever in the arms of Almighty God. I commend him to you. I would not live a day without him. Twice in my life, I've had to sign upon the page, not knowing if I would come out from anesthetic. with life-threatening illness. And on both of those occasions, what a peace to know that I'm in the everlasting arms of a loving God who gave His Son for me, and to know that I knew Him through faith in His Son, that whatever happened, I would never perish, but I would have eternal life. Have you got that? You could have it. If you listen to God's message, what a simple message it is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.